Impress your friends. Amaze your coworkers. Make your family proud. Here's what you need to know.
I'm going to tell you what you need to know. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear.
All right, fourth quarter. The program begins right now. We're live at Robert Brogdon's The Late Tequila. That's right, Robert Brogdon. 25 plus years here in Kansas City, family owned and operated business. Now, across the street, as well as, of course, the legendary Robert Brogdon Buick GMC, the Midwest's number one volume GMC dealer, Kansas City's number one, Kansas's number one volume GMC dealer is Robert Brogdon Buick GMC, right there on the northwest corner of I-35 and Santa Fe, right here on the southwest corner of basically that same intersection, if you think of the highway. As an intersection is where you'll find Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. 130 North 1st Street is where you'll find Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. It's also where you can find all new Kia models. They're all backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty, 0% financing available on select models. Check out the popular Kia Telluride. It's back in stock. One of the best values on the market. First ever 22 Kia Carnival. It's now available as well, seating up to 8 passengers. Come check it out. Special discounts available for military here. And, of course, 0% financing, like I said. Come check it out right now at Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. It is the spot to get a new car, truck, or SUV. Of course, great used and pre-owned vehicles at both Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia and Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. Right here at the intersection of I-35 and Santa Fe, there is a vehicle for everyone's budget. So come check it out right now. Let's get things started with some of what we heard from the Kansas City Chiefs today. They met with the media, Andy Reid meeting with the media. We'll hear him here in a minute. First, let's talk about some of the conversation that was had last night after the big come-from-behind win by the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll start with Patrick Mahomes. He was talking about the memes that were out there. Aaron Ladd, 41 Action News, asked Patrick Mahomes about the internet meme, Blanket Tyreek's down there somewhere.
It's funny you said that. I literally just saw that. Sometimes it'd be like that is what I have to say. I mean, sometimes you just got to throw it up. He's a little dude, but he goes and catches it, and he's pretty fast. So usually good things happen.
He said he's always going to adjust to the ball better. Got people like that.
Yeah, I think it's that. He's really good at adjusting to the ball. I mean, he's world class. If not his speed, that's probably the best thing that he does is adjusting when the ball's in the air. And then I think it's kind of that thing where if he gets past you, it's kind of like you're trying to get there with everything you have. So the DB was running as hard as he could, because if I threw a good ball, he probably would have ran thrown over the top, and he was able to adjust and make a play.
I think that's the key here. Tyreek Hill has ridiculous speed, and that means nobody can go at 90% and cover him, right? Like, it's hard to move your body and jump up in the air and jump up and twist around when you're running full speed. Tyreek Hill is so fast that he can run at 80, 85, 90%, be out in front, creating separation. Everybody else is just trying to get there. He's getting there and ready to make an athletic move, ready to make a football move. And so what is deemed lucky by Myles Garrett, which we played earlier today during our Sam McDowell Hour, you can catch that at 810WHP.com if you missed it, where Myles Garrett said it was a bad ball and it was a 50-50 ball and we just got to knock it down. Yeah, that sounds great. Just knock it down. But you don't have any corner almost ever that has the athleticism to consistently stay with Tyreek Hill that far down the field and be able to arrive at the point of where the ball is going to land, arrive there and arrive there under control. Everybody is running out of control to get there, and that's why that play is so effective. And Patrick Mahomes knows it,
yep.
And that's why he puts the ball out there.
Deion Sanders, maybe prime time Daryl Green. I mean, there might be five guys in the history of the league that could stay with Tyreek Hill at full speed.
Yeah, that's it. There's just a couple of guys, and they weren't wearing a Cleveland Browns uniform on Sunday, that's for sure. One more from Patrick Mahomes. He took us through what was a congested look, right, when you saw it rolling out. Is Mahomes going to run it? Is he going to throw it? He decides to run. There were a lot of bodies there, but he made it easily into the end zone. He takes us through that touchdown run.
Yeah, I kind of went through the reads. They covered it really well, the play that we ran. And so it wasn't supposed to be held that long, so those guys were kind of coming off the ball really fast, and they made some great blocks. And so I was able to kind of make that one guy miss. And then I was running, and the whole time I'm looking for someone to throw to or slide. And then it just seems like I kind of like found a way to get in the end zone. So it gave me false confidence, I said, because I tried to cut it back again and got popped by two dudes. So I'll try to stay away from that.
Yeah, there you go. That's what we want. At least he recognizes. Okay. Like, that was pretty congested. And I was like, wow, it just kind of – he kind of just ran in between the red. You know, there's red bodies here. I'm going to get in between the red, and that'll, you know, protect me all the way into the end zone, and snaked his way in there. Then he tried to get cute, and he got hit. So, listen, I'm all for Patrick Mahomes running for first downs, touchdowns, whenever he can do it without getting hit. That's the key. Just don't get hit. Chiefs defense awoke in the second half, certainly started carrying their weight after a difficult first half where they gave up over 300 yards and 22 points. Chiefs defensive end Chris Jones was asked why the defense had so many problems in the first half.
We just had to settle down as a defense. I think we was all over the place. They was giving us a lot of different looks, especially with the play action. We was expecting a heavy run, and the time we expect heavy run, we'll get a play action over the top, or the time we expect in play action, we'll get a run down the middle. So we just had to settle down as a defense, and once we got settled, we was able to get them off the field. I think we ended it with three straight drives going off the field. So we just got to settle down more earlier in the game. You know, I don't think we need to wait to halftime to settle down. So that's a growing phase. You know, it's always good to grow off of a win.
I would agree. It's good to grow up with a win. A lot of coaches say you learn the lesson better if you lose. I don't know how many people, certainly no fans, would subscribe to that theory. But I think the defense got better. I think Kevin Stefanski got through some of his play sheet, too, and there wasn't as many, you know, things out there to go from. But the Chiefs defense did respond better in the second half, and then Andy Reid coached the game and limited the number of snaps his defense had to play by running the ball. Even when they weren't super effective running the ball, he kept handing it off, kept running the clock, kept his offense on the field, and gave his defense a little bit of a break. And I think that was a big part of the equation as well. Andy Reid, talking to the media today, he was asked, you know, a number of different questions. Some he answered really well, some not so much. Andy Reid was asked if it's sustainable to go through a season without getting more help from people not named Kelce and Hill when it comes to his wideouts.
Yeah, I think that'll come, Adam. I think Pat probably answered it the best yesterday that there, or last night, that there were some guys there that, you know, he knows fit into the route and can utilize, but just made the choice to go to the other guy. So I think we're okay there. We've got enough flexibility with the tight ends and the other receivers to mix things up a little bit too.
I think Pat answered it honestly. I don't think he answered professionally. I don't think he answered it honestly. I don't think the problems they had with the other guys was, you know, well, I could have missed this guy. You know, he's just being a pro. He's backing his guys. But that's it's not sustainable if it's just those two guys, at least not at the top level. This offense won't be as great as it can be if it's just Kelce and Hill.
Yeah, no doubt. Chiefs looking to add some help, maybe. Former Baylor basketball player, tight end Mark Beidle, is, according to Matt Derrick, being added to the Chiefs practice squad. He quote tweets from Mark Beidle himself, nothing official from the Chiefs at this time. So we'll see if that indeed does end up being true. The Chiefs already have four tight ends on the active roster. We'll see if they add him to the practice squad. Some other NFL news. Raheem Mostert, he's headed to the IR. He'll miss at least 8 weeks with chip cartilage in his knee. Stunning. Elijah Mitchell ends up being the leading rusher. You never can tell who those Shanahans are going to hand the ball off to. It wasn't third-round pick Trey Sermon out of Oklahoma. No, he's inactive. It was sixth-round pick Elijah Mitchell who gets the call for the 49ers on Sunday. Good luck with that, fantasy players. Good luck with that. I did call it. Thank you, Curtis. I called it during the pregame. Broncos wide receiver Jerry Jeudy expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks with a high ankle sprain. This coming in the game against the Giants. Jeffrey Okuda ruptured his left Achilles tendon against the Lions. Jeffrey Okuda ruptured his Achilles tendon in the game. He is expected to be out for the season. Royals have reinstated Joel Piamps from the IL. They now have a full 26-man roster. Andrew Benintendi named today the AL Player of the Week. 14 for 28 with 14 RBIs en route to winning AL Player of the Week. K-State quarterback Skylar Thompson out indefinitely, but is said to be returning at some point this season. This after a knee injury in Saturday's game against Southern Illinois. This according to Coach Chris Kleiman. One other college football news. Clay Helton is out at USC. The school making it official. Helton is the third straight full-time head coach that USC has fired in season. They seem to like to give him a short leash in that final year. Out he goes. One of the big names being mentioned, Matt Campbell. So there you go, Cyclone fans. Matt Campbell's name, I don't think it's based on his performance against Iowa. Maybe UCLA will be thrilled if Matt Campbell goes there. But Matt Campbell's name, one of the names that's prominently mentioned as to who could be the next head coach at USC. I'd throw in Jack Del Rio, who they've kicked the tires on a couple of times as well. We'll take a break, come back. Trent Green joins us. The quarterback is here to break down the Chiefs and the NFL. It's next here in the program as we broadcast live at Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Come take advantage of it. 0% financing is going on right now. Plus, all new Kia models are backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. Get that great service you've gotten from Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. Get it right now at Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia.
The program with Soren Petro.
I never thought I'd be engaged with somebody who threw balls for a living. Yeah, when I grew up, I'm going to marry someone who throws balls. Yeah!
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. He did something no quarterback will ever do again. Get drafted in the 8th round. He's a 2-time Pro Bowler and has as many rushing touchdowns as Joe Delaney. Look it up, it's true. It's time to go from the gun with Trent Green on the program.
And welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB as we broadcast live at, where else, Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. That's right, Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. The great service, the great car buying experience you've come to know and expect from Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. You can now get at Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia as it is just, well, absolutely a fantastic setup here at Olathe Kia, right across the street from Robert Brogdon Buick GMC here in Olathe is where you'll find Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia, right across Santa Fe, fastest growing Kia dealer in Kansas. It is a great time right now to get new, certified pre-owned, and used vehicles on all makes and models and budgets between both Brogdon stores. All new Kia models are backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. 0% APR financing available on select new Kia models. The popular Kia Telluride is back in stock and considered one of the best values on the market. The first ever 2022 Kia Carnival. Now available with seating for up to 8 passengers. You can check out the special available discounts for military. If you are military, check it out. You can save even more, and you can buy online or over the phone, and they will ship your purchase directly to your door. If you are being COVID careful, no problem. They'll get that car right to you. Brogdon didn't just sell cars. They buy them, too. They'll pay top dollar for your trade or give you cash to purchase your car outright. We are live today at Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia right here at I-35 and Santa Fe, just a little bit to the south of where Robert Brogdon Buick GMC is. You can come see us here today as we broadcast live with the program and talk Chiefs football. We do it right now with Trent Green from CBS Sports. He is one of the best in the business when it comes to breaking down the NFL, and he joins us here in the program. Trent, how are you, my friend?
Good. It was a good opening weekend. Kevin and I were up in Foxborough for the Patriots and Dolphins, and we had a really good close game. The Dolphins ended up winning by a point, but a couple of young quarterbacks. So it was good. It was good. And then obviously keeping an eye on what was going on in the rest of the league as well.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about the game you had. We'll come back to the Chiefs because we've talked a ton of Chiefs football today. But I do think kind of an interesting, great game for the big picture of things in the NFL, right? You mentioned two young quarterbacks, two Alabama quarterbacks going at it. And if the Patriots and Dolphins are to rise up to where I think the Browns are now, and certainly, that's being a contender to the Chiefs, is there one you like more than the other? Did one of the two quarterbacks impress you more than the other?
Actually, I thought Mac Jones handled things really well. I was impressed with Tua. I think he's made great strides from year one to year two. I think they've surrounded him with good weapons. Waddle was a great addition in the first round. They signed Will Fuller in the offseason, but he was suspended week one because he was still serving the last game of a 6-game suspension from his previous time in Houston. So the fact that they were able to get the win without him on the field. They got some guys back. Albert Wilson, who used to be with the Chiefs, he's back after opting out last season. So they've got some weapons around him. Miles Gaskin had a really good game. He finished the season strong a year ago. I think my biggest concern for the Dolphins is their offensive line, and they did all right. They didn't do great, but they did enough to get the job done. They created some lanes in the running game to get things going against a really good New England defense. you know, was a very low scoring game, not very many yards. I think the Dolphins maybe had about 260 yards of offense, but they were very opportunistic. And, you know, it comes down, I feel like I'm doing the Coach Vermeil thing. Well, the New England Patriots had, they lost, or they lost the, you know, the turnover right. battle, and they lost the penalty battle because, very unlike the Patriots, they had three personal fouls in the game, and ended up with nearly 100 yards of penalties. So, that's really the area. And then, you know, getting that fumble at the end of the game, the Dolphins recovering that to, kind of seal things away. But yeah, I was impressed with both Tua and Mac Jones. I thought Mac Jones handled himself really well. He's got some nice weapons with Hunter Henry and Johnny Smith coming over, Nelson Aguilar coming over. So he's got some weapons there. And, yeah, I thought he handled things well, but it was, you know, it was just kind of one of those games. We thought it was going to be a defensive battle that, they wanted to run the ball and, you know, when they could pass, you know, take advantage of it. But yeah, it was a close game, so it made it good.
Yeah, it was. And I want to get your opinion on this. Just my thoughts. I don't think it's going to happen. I think if it was going to happen, it would already have happened. But whether it's the Chiefs or whether it's Cam Newton contract request or the Chiefs wanting to mess with their chemistry. I know they have Chad Henne in place. And so maybe just chemistry-wise, like not wanting to upset the apple cart or create any conflicts. But I do think that Cam Newton's going to struggle to find a job because I think there's a lot of guys that would want to, if you bring him into a situation where you don't have a steady quarterback, there could be people that say, you know, in the locker room that want to get behind Cam Newton. But that would never be the case with a Patrick Mahomes as your starting quarterback. So how much would, if Cam Newton said, hey, I want to come see what the Andy Reid offense is all about, I'll hold a clipboard for a year just to immerse myself in that and learn everything I can. To bring in Cam Newton to be, we saw Blake Bell take a snap. To be your third and short guy, to pound away in some wildcat formations and some goal to goes, how sweet would it be able to keep Patrick Mahomes out of those kind of plays, yet still have maybe the best, most physical running quarterback in the history of the NFL be your short yardage guy?
You know, I know where you're coming from. And I think, you know, knowing Andy and Eric Bieniemy and Mike Kafka and what they can come up with, if Cam came in and they, like you said, they came up with a special package of, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 plays.
Right.
I just don't see that happening.
No.
Could it be something that, you know, let's say Cam hasn't signed with anybody and we get to week 16, 17. It's like, hey, you know what? We'll sign him for a couple of weeks and we'll come up with a couple packages we can use. You know, maybe there's an outside chance that happens. I know they're really high on Chad Henne. They like Chad Henne a lot. The guys in the locker room like Chad Henne. I think Patrick is a strong enough personality and leader that, you know, Cam coming in wouldn't like, you know, ruffle that at all. But I do like your idea. You could come up with a good, you know, 20 play package that would be pretty unique, to Cam's skill set compared to what Patrick does and what the rest of the offense does. But honestly, maybe a 1% chance.
Right, exactly. And I agree. I think maybe next offseason when Chad Henne's out of contract, I do think the Chad Henne part of the equation makes it almost an impossibility. Now, if Chad Henne got hurt, which we know he did a couple of years ago, then maybe it gets put on the table. But I'm with you. Plus, the Chiefs don't have much cap room. And I think right now Cam Newton's probably looking for a starting job and maybe more starters money. You may feel like, hey, I did my apprenticeship thing under Bill Belichick. Now it's time to get paid. Who knows? It takes two sides right. to make it work. I am curious, though, if they ever did, because whether it's Cam Newton or somebody else, finding somebody in the draft that can run a package like that, like the Colts did it last year. They'd take Philip Rivers off the field and they brought in Jacoby Brissett. Would run all their short yardage stuff. If you did,
that's what. Hey, not to interrupt, but that's what the Dolphins did yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
Brissett came in and every single one of the third and one or left. Yep. Brissett was the quarterback, and Tua came out.
Yeah,
So I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. And so I think it's a smart thing. If you wanted to do it, though, you just said a package of 5, 10, 15, 20 plays, whatever it is. How much time would that take? Like we sit here and say, you know, me as a fatty talk show host, like, yeah, just get a package together and go run it. But is that something you can actually do, or is that something that really needs to be done in training camp? We think it's easy to just throw a few plays in the playbook and make it happen on the fly. But in reality, it's much more difficult to add that kind of nuance than we're considering. Or no, is that something that a guy like Andy Reid is the perfect guy and he could have it done in one night?
Well, I think the guy's already there. You know, I think with Blake Bell, with the fact that he said they did the snap yesterday. So, you know, he has a history as a quarterback. He knows how to take a snap and how to do the cadence and how to, you know, handle all of that. You know, you could put in, you know, 5-10 plays or a couple trick plays here and there. It's not as, I guess a lot of it, to answer your question, a lot of it comes down to the coach and the comfort level that the coach has in not getting a lot of reps at it. There are certain coaches that they want to rep a play 20 times before they ever want to see it, you know, in a game. And then there's other coaches, they're like, you know what? We'll do one or two, and I guess how much they need to see it before they actually believe it and call it.
Yeah. We're talking to Trent Green here in the program. Trent, the Chiefs do get a big win against the Cleveland Browns. They have to come from behind to get it done, and the Browns really came out and jumped on them. What's your opinion, and what are you hearing about how strong Kevin Stefanski is and how strong this Browns team is? Because there's no shame. If these are the top two teams in the AFC, then this is what you expect an AFC championship game to look like, right? You usually don't – it's not like that – what was it, Bills-Raiders 51-3 or something way back in the day when I was, you know, in college watching that AFC championship. Usually that's what these things are you know, slugging matches. Was this the matchup of the two best teams? Are you hearing that Kevin Stefanski really is as good as he looked on Sunday and the Browns really are this tough?
You know, I think the Browns are going to be good. I think they've got to find a way to finish games. You know, that's clear. To have a 9-point lead and then have it go away the way that it did. You know, they found ways to make mistakes at the end, and good teams find ways, you know, to win. If you look at, you know, what Mahomes has done, you know, when he's trailed in games, when he's trailed by double digits in games, his record. The team's record, they just believe in it. So the Browns got to get to that point where they believe in it. I don't know if I necessarily say, you know, I don't know if I'm ready to say these are the top two teams that we saw. You know, I think the Bills, even though they lost to the Steelers, I think they are going to play better. I still am interested to see what Baltimore does tonight. You know, there's this division, or I should say this conference, compared to the NFC, this conference is really good, and there's some top heavy teams in this conference. But definitely, you know, with KC and Cleveland, those are two that are near the top, if not at the top.
What do you think of Baker Mayfield and what his upside is? I thought he played fantastically right up until the throw that ended the game for him. He had just had a great day dropping in some passes right where they had to be. You know, I know everyone talks about the running game of the Browns, and certainly it had us all scared as Chiefs fans the way they were hammering away with the running game. But what got him out in front were big plays by Baker Mayfield. You know, he did not get the big contract, or at least hasn't yet, that the guys preceding him. You know, Josh Allen got paid out of his same draft class. Last year it was Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson getting paid before the year. Before that it was Carson Wentz and Goff. And I know those are kind of cautionary tales, the first two, but it had kind of become the norm in the NFL that you get paid going into this season in your quarterback cycle. And Baker Mayfield didn't get that payday. Is it because he's not worth the big contract, or what do you think of, and what are you hearing about Baker Mayfield?
I like how he's developed. I really have. You know, you look at his first couple of years in the league, and he was just kind of a wild card. He was, you know, he was out there throwing a lot of touchdowns, but throwing a lot of interceptions and turning the ball over and just kind of playing wild and free. And I think the hiring of Stefanski coming in, you go back to last year, the way his interceptions dropped. Yes, he wasn't having as many big dynamic plays. Yes, they became more of a running oriented team and you know, they want to get to some play action and some big plays and excuse me. I think they saw good progress in him last year. And I think the reason for them not giving him the contract is, you know what? Let's back it up. You know, that let's see if you can do it 2 years in a row. Let's see if you're really bought in or if you just bought in for 1 year. And I think all indications based on, you know, what we saw on Sunday is he has bought in and he understands what they need to do. The interception is at the end of the game. You're trying to make a play And, you know, I can't fault him for that. Obviously, it would have been great if he threw it in the ground and threw it out of bounds, you know, for the Browns, because it would have kept the drive alive and kept their chances alive. But, you know, late in the game is when you take chances. If you're taking those chances in the first quarter, you know, then you've got Baker Mayfield of a couple years ago.
Yeah, no doubt. And they were I thought, ready to go. Like Kevin Stefanski kind of had, I don't want to say he had his number, but I love the aggressiveness. He came in trying to win the game, and I think so many teams come in, you know, maybe scared or intimidated of the Chiefs, and that's not how the Browns came in. I thought he went for it on fourth downs on each of his first two drives, converted those fourth downs, ultimately converted those drives into touchdowns. It was clear that he was going down the field to get seven, and not just seven, get eight on the first one, even going for the two-point conversion. He was a guy who said, look, I can't come in here and accept field goals or trade scores. I've got to get touchdowns out of this, and that is the recipe. They didn't complete it. They couldn't finish the job, but that's what the Raiders did. They came in last year, the one game that the Chiefs tried in the regular season and didn't win. And they came in and played unafraid. They played all out. And when they got a lead on the Chiefs, they didn't just start getting conservative the way the Chargers, frankly, Anthony Lynn would do at times when he maybe would have an upper hand. They stayed aggressive and kept trying to get touchdowns. And I was super impressed with Stefanski's willingness to go for it on fourth down and his aggressive nature. And I do think that's the blueprint for beating the Chiefs. Now you got to have the personnel. It starts with the players, right? But once you have the players, you got to be aggressive if you're going to beat Andy Reid and the Chiefs, right?
I think so. I think that Kevin Stefanski, you know, came into it with the right frame of mind. You know, I've talked to a number of different head coaches. I haven't talked to Kevin about it, but talked to a number of head coaches. They go into the week when they start their game planning. You know, the head coach will get together with the coordinators and the other assistants, and they'll say, okay, this week, and I know Andy Reid, this week, this is what we need to do. It's going to take us, whatever, 20 points to win this game. It's going to take us 50 points to win this game. This is how aggressive we have to be as far as our play calling, in terms of our pressure packages, in terms of what we're doing offensively. And I think a lot of times when coaches go into that meeting, knowing that they're playing the Chiefs that week, they look at Patrick Mahomes, number one. They look at Tyreek Hill and they look at Travis Kelce and they say, okay, they have so many weapons and, you know, the way they're able to mix it up with other guys. And, you know, so I do think that teams go into their game planning for a week when they're facing Kansas City, knowing the amount of firepower, you know, that Andy Reid possesses, that, you know, no lead really is big enough just because of how quickly they're able to put points on the board.
You mentioned the weapons for the Kansas City Chiefs, and certainly Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce show what they can do. 6 for 76 and a couple of touches for Kelce. Hill, 11 for 197 and a touchdown. I mean, just brilliant days from the two of them. And look, right there is 273 yards passing. So, you know, we can get a little bit greedy, but a big subject throughout the preseason and training camp was, you know, who's going to be that guy that steps up as the number two wide receiver or the third passing option in this offense now that Sammy Watkins is gone? And Sammy Watkins had less than 500 yards and only a few touchdowns last year. So it's not that there was this overwhelming production that now has to be replaced. But collectively, Mecole Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson, and Byron Pringle amassed 5 catches for 34 yards and no touchdowns. Now, again, anything wrong with that? No, they beat a very good Browns team by 4 points, so everything's fine. But if a Tyreek Hill would go down, which has happened over the last few years, Travis Kelce hasn't, but if he would go down, are you comfortable with the guys, Hardman, Robinson, and Pringle? Are you comfortable if you're Brett Veach and Andy Reid with what you have behind those two big guns?
Well, you're never comfortable if you lose a guy of the caliber of Tyreek Hill. I mean, it's I'm fine right now with the way they have it as far as you know, that second and third wide receiver is kind of by committee. I think they've got a good formula. There's certain things Mecole Hardman does well. There's certain things Pringle does well. There's certain things Robinson does well. You know, you still have your running backs out of the backfield. They use multiple tight end packages. That was a big thing for the Chiefs in the preseason, was getting more tight ends involved. So, when you have a guy caliber of Tyreek and you have a guy caliber of Travis, you try and ride him as much as you can and hopefully they stay healthy. But to put that label on, you know, the other three, if something would happen to Tyreek, I don't think it's fair because, you know, Tyreek is a special talent and there's a reason why he's all pro and there's a reason why, you know, teams respect him and fear him so much just because of, you know, not only his ability from a speed standpoint, but his strength in his hands. He has such a tenacity going after the football. You love to see receivers, especially a receiver of his size, that attack the football the way he attacks it. It's pretty impressive. But I don't think I'm ready to place any of those other three, whether it be by committee or not, you know, in Tyreek's level.
Would you be ready to put him on Johnny Morton's level, a guy who can get 750 and four touchdowns, like, you know, was a part of your Chiefs teams? Like, I hear you. I don't, you know, Tyreek Hill, I think.
Yeah, I really haven't seen enough of any of the three of them. I think if you do it by committee, you know, like I said, I think there's certain things. You know, Pringle really hasn't, you know, he's developed over the last couple seasons. And so he shows flashes from time to time. It's like, you know, if you see him for an extended period of time, would, you know, I've seen this and I know you've seen it too, Seren. You see guys, all of a sudden they get an opportunity nobody really knows, and then they get that confidence. It's like all of a sudden the guy, you know they have the talent, they know they can do it. And then all of a sudden they go out and execute it. And then it's like, oh, wait, I can really do this. And then they just take off. You know, I don't know. Maybe that is Byron Pringle. Maybe all of a sudden, if he does get a bunch of reps and a bunch of catches, he just blossoms. And, you know, we don't really know, just because of the number, you know, of snaps and reps that he's had.
Yeah, that and how important is it for a guy? Is it simply that, you know, that is not going to, that question won't be answered until it's forced upon them, right? If Tyreek Hill doesn't go down, you're just not going to look for those guys, so the numbers are never going to satisfy anybody, because you're always going to feed the two beasts, right? Travis Kelce and right. Tyreek Hill. But in a moment,
you'd be crazy not to.
Right? Exactly. But I think it's interesting you went to Byron Pringle, because he's the guy that kind of intrigues me as well. The bigger, or I mean, if you were just to put him in a lineup and say, who looks like Sammy Watkins? Byron Pringle's the guy who looks like Sammy Watkins. He's the kind of guy you feel like, man, if I can get the ball in his hands in stride, he's a tough guy to bring down. We got to try to find a way to do that as much as we can when we're not going to Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. Right. You know, that's
well, that. the reason I went to Pringle is because we've seen more of McColl and we've seen more of DeMarcus, and Pringle, it's just all of a sudden you'll see a flash and it's like, wow, I wonder if he, you know, just some of it is just that, you know, it's like, okay, if he got a couple, or let's say he had a game with six catches and 89 yards or something, like, you know, it's like all of a sudden it's like, is that we've seen players and I've seen players where that spark just goes off and it's like, okay, I can do this and I belong here and I belong at this level. And not that he doesn't possess that confidence already, but I'm just saying there's a difference between being on the roster, being a positional rotational player, and then being that guy. So that's why I brought him up, just because we don't know that much about it, or at least I don't know that much about it.
Right. We're talking to Trent Green here in the program from CBS Sports about these Kansas City Chiefs. Defensively, the Chiefs were kind of shoved around, let's be honest, for the first half. Nobody wants to give up 22 points and a half. They did seem to come alive, I think, at the end of the half. I thought Chris Jones' sack right before the half was big. But they didn't play without Tyrann Mathieu. They didn't play without Willie Gay Jr., and they didn't play without Frank Clark. Now, you know, I was on in Cleveland this morning, and I said, you know, I think it should be noted these guys didn't play. I said, I think it should also be noted that's generally what your playoff games look like, right? Nobody goes in with 22 starters healthy. So, you know, you got to find a way to win with guys being down. Although early, I think the Browns are pretty much at full strength. So we do need to say, hey, good football team in the Browns, Chiefs down some starters. But how much more do you think, how much better is the defense with, let's just start with Tyrann Mathieu. You know, we were hopeful he would play. He didn't. But how much do you think that affected the performance of the defense, particularly in the first half?
I think it definitely did. You know, talking throughout the preseason with the guys and being around them at camp, and you know, they talk about how much of a communicator and how much of a leader Tyrann is in terms of not only in the meeting rooms, in the weight room, on the practice field, you know, on the game field. It's like, he's getting everyone lined up. He's the one that's setting the standard for, you know, what the practice is going to be, what the walkthrough is going to be. He holds everybody to a high standard. I remember a conversation, and I know Willie Gay didn't play, but Willie was like, you know, he goes, I've got Hutch to one side, and Hutch is like an encyclopedia, or Hitch is like an encyclopedia. And he goes, but Tyrann, he's just like, he's everything. He just knows what everybody's doing at all the times, and he sets the standard. So yeah, missing those three guys is a big thing. You know, the Browns didn't have, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. I think he went through warmups, right? But he ended up not playing.
Right.
So, I mean, that was one of their big weapons, but they didn't, you know, they didn't have him last year because of the injury also. So, you know, Kevin and I were sitting in the, sitting in Foxborough getting ready for our game. And we saw that, you know, we saw Tyron and Frank and Willie weren't going to play. And we're like, well, you know, what's going to happen? And then we see the way the game started as, you know, the score is posted. But give Steve Spagnuolo and the defense credit, great adjustments that they made. You look at the way Cleveland ran the ball initially, and then that really kind of went away as well. So, took advantage of things when they had the opportunity. That's for sure.
You mentioned the Bills earlier. How much do you, you know, put into those first weeks? How hard is that? Andy Reid touched on it a little bit, like, hey, for the first few weeks, you know, it's a different entity. Like, you know, until you get that game tape built up where you can really dig in and maybe be a better counterpuncher off whatever it is the new stuff guys are going at it. How much would you read into the Bills? Because, you know, they did have kind of a tumultuous offseason, a tumultuous training camp with a lot of the comments and, you know, the vaccination things that were going on. They were kind of the one that seemed to be leading the headlines. How much does that concern you that maybe the chemistry that they had that was so great last year, and it's hard to catch year over year, but also in what seemed to be a tumultuous offseason for the Bills?
Well, I thought the Steelers, number one, did a tremendous job defensively putting pressure on Josh Allen. You know, Josh has the ability to extend plays, very similar, you know, from Patrick Mahomes' standpoint as far as extending plays and using his feet. He uses his feet more than what Mahomes does in terms of rushing the football because he's, whatever, 230, 240 pounds. So, I thought the Steelers did a great job of harassing him, from what I was able to see in the highlights that I saw. So, you know, I think the Bills are going to be fine. You know, if they're still struggling here and you know, the next month, and then all of a sudden you get a little bit concerned, but I think the Steelers are a lot better defensively than what people gave them credit for. And I think offensively they were opportunistic and, you know, did some good things as well. So they kept that a low scoring game, and that was the way the Steelers were going to win that game. So, I don't put too much in it. I still think Buffalo is going to be a really good team.
Yeah. I think it'll be interesting to see. Chemistry is a bigger part than people realize sometimes for how these teams play. We're talking to Trent Green with us here in the program. Time for our Final Four. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. If you have an urgent orthopedic or sports injury, the University of Kansas Health System has extended weekday hours and a Saturday morning walk-in clinic. You can learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. Trent, I will start you with this. Do you or don't you want to see KU end up in the Big Ten?
Oh, I think it'd be great. I mean, if the Big 12 ends up, and I don't think they're going to go away, but if the Big 12 ends up splitting up and going different ways, yeah, I would love to see KU in the Big Ten. I think that would, yeah, you know, that'd be a great addition. Think of the history and the hoops and all that. I'm okay with that.
I think once Indiana gets, you know, locked and loaded with the basketball coach and they're back up to what they are, I think an Indiana-Kansas, you know, Monday night basketball game would be awesome. I love the basketball side if Kansas ever does make its way up there. All right, what's your pick for the Chiefs' record this year? What'd you have going in to week one, or maybe it changed after week one, but what do you think they are after 17 games?
You know, I always have to remember there's 17 games. So it's, I mean, they're going to, you know, there's, you know, I know the big talk that Patrick's the one that said it at 20-0. That's hard. I mean, that's a hard thing to do. So I'll put it at 14-3.
Okay.
I think that's realistic, I think.
That's a strong record. What's your Super Bowl pick? Who beats who?
Wow. I didn't think Green Bay was going to fall on their face the way they did. You know, I thought they were going to be better, and I think they still will be better. I know there's a lot of people around the country that picked the Packers, like a Chiefs-Packers type game. But let's go with Kansas City, and let's go with the old I-70 rivalry. Let's go with the Chiefs and Rams.
Okay, and you got the Chiefs winning?
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah,
absolutely. Do that. Why not?
Yeah. I think it's, I think of that matchup though. What, I mean, Did you watch any of that game last night?
I did. Stafford and the Rams are impressive.
Man, I mean, that would be a pretty dynamic matchup.
Yeah.
Unfortunate thing for the Chiefs is that would be back-to-back Super Bowls at the other team's home stadium, right? Isn't the Super Bowl in L.A.?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it absolutely would be. Yeah, the Chiefs would have to win because they'd have to slap the uniforms right off of the Rams so that hopefully they'd go back to the good ones. All right, and finally, you were in Boston. Do you like or dislike clam chowder?
Oh, I'm not a clam chowder fan. No, yeah. I'm not. Yeah. I'm not. No, no, like... I just – and whether it's – you know, I get a kick out of people. Is it white or red? I'm like, for me, it doesn't matter if it's white or red. If it's the creamy stuff or the, you know, it's, yeah, I'm not a clam chowder.
Good to hear. Good to hear. I'm with you 100%. Trent, great talking football with you, buddy. It's great to be doing it again. We really appreciate the time, and we'll talk again next week.
All right, sir. And great to get the season started. And, look forward to talking to you all year long.
But first, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. Russell Wilson now has 11 games, at least 4 touchdown passes and no interceptions. How many others have that many? None. He was in a 4-way tie at 10. He's the all-time leader now in 4 touchdown, no interception games.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's pretty good, to say the least. Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. That is great. Joe's is even better than Russell Wilson. I can tell you that as a fact. Go to joeskc.com. Order it right now. The app, a great way to order. Get it on your way home. 119th and Strangline. 117th and Road. Of course, the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission. Great, great barbecue from Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Now, I want to thank everybody here at Robert Brogdon's Elate the Kia. Congratulations to everybody in the Brogdon family. Expanding now, the great Kia store. You can find them right here at 130 North First Street, right here in Olathe. That great, great hometown experience you've had at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC, the number one volume GMC dealer in the metro area, in Kansas, in the Midwest. You get that same kind of experience at Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia, fastest growing Kia dealership in Kansas. Hometown roots right here in Olathe. Take advantage of it right now. 0% financing plus. All new Kia models are backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. A vehicle for every budget. It's right here. Either at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC or Robert Brogdon Olathe Kia. That's right. Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. I-35 in Santa Fe. Thanks a lot to everyone here at Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia.